This is God's word become true. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Birds, for all persons make your calling what it is you were. If you do these things, you will learn from all of them, will be able to receive a root of them into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are responsive and able to the Lord for his word today and the mother left to your both and this respond responsibly. For the Lord. Perhaps, Father, we ask that you would teach us by the Spirit to give us our understanding of this text. And we ask that you would humble us as we see how far short we fall. We ask that you would encourage us as we see your care for us in giving us this word. We ask that by your Spirit, of whom you may as partakers of your divine nature, by placing your Spirit in us as believers. We ask that by your Spirit, you would encourage us that we might do the things about which you speak to us this morning. Jesus is gracious, I start this, your word, which you have inspired by your Spirit, and the Apostle Peter. Grant us understanding. Grant that we may receive this message from you with humility, and a willingness and eagerness to change and anger into the deceptions of our distant nature. And we're rooted down. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We can rest with the simple second tier. Starting up in verse 1 and working our way down through and then I'm going to enjoy this and I today for telling them understanding and better understanding get out of this book just and I enjoy the regular part of preaching and I've been looking through and studying through the first chapter of 2 Peter and through this whole book and I've been very impressed with the fact that God by his Spirit Apostle Peter connected this whole letter together. There are things that end and we connect out of the very beginning and things the middle that we connect out of the beginning and end and so on. Because of that reason it has become hard for me to know where to stop and before to stop in terms of preaching. There's very much a perfect approach. The whole three chapters here, the first week, we were in this and preached the whole thing, but I preached it all anyway. And so I would have been ready to say after, we're going to make sure it's a little more perhaps maybe, and we would wonder why you were all sitting there hungry. But two verses this morning. That would take a look at it in the verses that require us to look at who he has gone before. And then that, this is reading of 1 Peter again. Look at the best part, the beginning of this text, verse 10. Peter begins with this, the beginning of our session, which is the first thing, therefore, let others. And so we say, well, what is his name? Here's the word. For. Because it means to be about us, that's always a good thing to do. And it says, therefore, we look at verse 9. And Peter just finished speaking to us about the things that we should be hanging in our heads as we look at this. As a whole, before we get to that, we wonder and present the debate. So, as we've been the church, and remember, we can be assured about our salvation. We see this morning that the sermon is very simply titled. Entitled, Be Sure of Your Salvation. I was sitting in campus ministry for, it was about 10 years. One of the questions that I would come across very much was the question about this, which again, one cannot be any assurance whatsoever of our salvation. Hope is just dying, and if you come to the Catholic Church, I found this was very much true. Darkness, but in the others as well. When I was saying, how sure are you? And he died for the fact that he knows the questions of the Lord, that it is before God that he would send you into heaven. The answer I got, much of the time, regardless of the sins of their troubles, will be never be sure of that. We'll just have to wait and see. How many it's being before he says you're not coming again, or whether he says no, you're out. And that was a separate thing to me. Now I'm trying to explain from scripture why there was more in scripture that say to us, yes, we can be assured if we believe in Jesus. We are in fact saying that we will, when we die, go to heaven. You see, because there are consequences in our lives. If we don't believe, our salvation is secured by God. If we're not sure that we're saved, then this is a good thing. It affects us the way we react, it affects us. In the way we interact with God and with others, I'm not sure if I have salvation in Christ is forgiven my sin. I'm not sure that I'm one of God's people. Maybe I can do self deception. Deception toward God and deception toward other people, God. Because when I'm looking around sin, if I want to be unhappy, if I'm not assured that that is a certain thing for me, then it doesn't become about my sin toward myself. When I'm disobeying with others, I'm saying, Father, I'm going to die. I'm saying, oh, no, that was a sinful thought. It was a sinful thought. The answer is, I won't have salvation when I stand. So yes, we have to be less don't be less humble toward other people. It'll be harder to be around. Because I'll be one of those people that we all are sometimes are willing to admit our sin to others. And of course not in prayer. But of course not in praise before. I want to present what the magazine of repentance and humility has made for us. Forgetting God is clear. Forgetting of our sin, which I'm admitting, with His blood. Instead, I'll essentially be saying to God, I don't need you that much. See, the question of being sure of our salvation has a lot of consequences. We sure of our salvation, we're in our souls, personally. We're that's what holds the key. Release the people. If you didn't honor Paul when things have gone wrong to other people, to be gracious to them, it was a proper relationship with God where he said, I do not need you. Jesus, I do not need your blood to come amongst me. I will be more grateful to God, and that will be honoring to him.
Therefore,
by Peter. He's the only man for righteousness, and there will be perfect sin. As long as you trust in Jesus as righteous, it's a mirror in him. So Peter said in verse 10, therefore, for us, since righteousness should be our aim in our life, to be faithful to God should be our aim in our life, not to be perfect, but we won't be perfect, but to aim in that direction. He now has the epistle of this, referred out to the previous verses, since you have knowledge of Christ.
Father's role was loving. He's a mother.
Jesus, my people who are yourself, we trust you. We trust our whole anger and our faith in Jesus. So let's call out the second term that Jesus best transformation of the Spirit in order to be eager, to be sure. All this God being impossible message to you, and that's really impossible. God being gospel message to you in any way. In any way, as we can, in any way, to believe. God called everybody to believe in Him. But the calling that Peter experienced here is a calling that the Bible clearly speaks of, that we sometimes call, as we say in the Bible, affectional calling. There's a calling that just has an effect. It's God saying, believe in me. Here is my kingdom. It's not you. And it's Jesus saying, I am in the king. Be a subject. And God enabling us by His Spirit to see and understand that kingdom that believes. So Jesus spoke out in John 3:3. And the most important is already here. This first one is new. Again, spiritual life, born spiritually, born to learn it, he cannot see, nor deceive, and he can discover. And so, even though a person is strict as working, not the gospel, and they don't understand it. Because we're not ready to make that, we're not able to make that. But at some point, then a life is kind of came. And the Spirit blew him. He was ready for the same time. And the Spirit blew our souls and our minds and our hearts and gave us life like we heard about Lazarus in the grave. He was dead. Ephesians chapter 2. While we were dead in our transgressions and sins, what did God do? He made us alive. He gave us spiritual life. We were dead in the city. We were living in the here. And he gave us life when we had seen the kingdom of God, Jesus, in John 3:3. We can hear the message of the gospel. Remember Jesus talking about the parables? He said he spoke in parables. And some of those seeing do not see and hear, and they do not hear. There is physical hearing. We still do not understand. Spiritual things, the things that Jesus. And it is spiritual hearing. That hearing enabled by the blowing of God's Spirit upon a person's heart and soul, so that they can hear the offer of eternal life and say, yes, so that they can hear. Jesus will do the same. Yes. I'm tired of me being my own king. I'm tired of following the ways of this world. I'm following. I'm the prince of the power of the therapist in Ephesians 2 speaks of. So God's calling is going to stand with the gospel message and enable us to believe. And so what Peter is saying here is make sure that you're called. Make sure that you feel like you're a man. Good thing. How does that work? Maybe it might say, well, that doesn't seem to compute. Well, it's not a couple of things. It's not making this sure with God. It's not about a man saying, look, I'm not sure if you know what I'm after God. I'm not sure if you're really called to or not. We're told the scriptures of God collectively from the foundation of the world. Predestined from the foundation of the world, those who he will conform to the image of the Son. And the election of our neighbor, already in history, the election of another first government of the United States, there's nothing we can do to turn that around. The Father has already elected the people to himself. Those are the people who died for us. Those are those people who are us and living here today. Those people are not holy, created by Jesus God's election comes like changing. Or that somebody can truly be elect and then lose their election or lose their calling. There's no question, no change. But God's elect, it is sure and known. And those names, as the book of Revelation tells us, are written in the book of life. So what does it mean to make our calling or make it sure?
You would see, if you look at the church, Your life, Father God,
it tells us at the end of verse 10, if you do these things, if you persevere in being good and faithful, if you love people according to the moral law of God, if you treat people the way that you treat them, especially if you treat people, the power of the Spirit within you, because you remember that Savior, the divine nature, as Peter says in verse 4. If you do this, you will never fall. That is, if you look out for me, as Jesus says, here, crying my love for God and man, you should like to prove. You prove, you evidence, you show, you make sure that you indeed have God's elect. You prove for yourself, to yourself, by the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit. You prove that the Holy Spirit is in you. That you're a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter has spoken in verses 3 and 4. In other words, you want to make sure you're a Christian, love people well. And if you love people well, use it. Not tell anybody, but say, you know what? I'm going to spend a bad day tonight, and I'm going to have an education for that person. I'm going to have a turkey in the way, and I'm going to help that person out. I would have not been gracious with that person. But because God's Spirit is in my life, I'm faithful. I'm gracious with that person. I'm faithful to that person who came to love the Lord. I'm able to love that person. I'm able to love God. And if we did those deeds of righteousness, it is to us that God's Spirit is with us. God's Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. My friendship produces love. For the Spirit is love. And so if we love people and love God, if we know that in God, then we are an assurance. We make sure that we are truly accepted and called by God. Because we put those things and those things. prison very much. Look at our Jesus of love. Jesus is there. Jesus was righteous, but he was lying. He was lying. He didn't separate himself from the world, only us. He wasn't able to work believers and live out of belief because he loved them and had mercy on them. That's your life. That's why Jesus does it. A righteousness of love. How can I find out a righteousness of love that this has itself served? One is we have a degree. Giving is a supply. Three degrees of loving righteousness. One is that we get the comfort of assurance. If we love this one righteousness, if we love people well, that's where righteousness consists of. Loving people well according to the law of God, which describes our power to love people. The good assurance of our salvation, that's a helpful thing for us. Ready?